A 5-4 decision from the Supreme Court yesterday that decided that authorities may strip search people arrested for any offense before they're admitted to jail. According to the court's majority opinion, which was written by Justice Anthony Kennedy, the court cannot second guess law enforcement and their need to protect the safety of other prison inmates. The minority opinion was written by Justice Stephen Breyer. That opinion said strip searches are a serious affront to human dignity and to individual privacy. Anita Allen joins us now, professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania. Anita, can you explain exactly what was at issue in this case? It was a man who had been arrested wrongfully, correct?
Right. Mr. Florence was driving. He was a passenger in a car with his wife. Pregnant wife was driving. She was stopped for allegedly speeding. The officer who stopped did a quick computer check and determined that Mr. Florence was wanted on a bench warrant for a minor civil offense. And although Mr. Florence had evidence on him, a paper that showed that he had actually paid the fine that had led 7 years earlier to this arrest warrant being issued, he was nonetheless arrested and then taken to jail.
Why was he carrying this record for 7 years? Why did he carry the record of paying this court fine?
This is pretty sad. So he's an African-American man who works for an auto dealership as a financial analyst, and he's afraid of racial profiling. He's so afraid that he's going to be stopped one day and possibly arrested falsely that he carries this piece of paper as a kind of insurance policy. Well, it didn't work.
Well, we have here the
did not believe the paper.
Here's the voice of Albert Florence. He's describing what happened to him, and this is from a video from the National Constitution Center.
I was ordered to take a shower with this disgusting smelling soap and bathe, which I did. But before I was told to put the jumpsuit on, I had an officer stand about arm's length with a curtain open, and he instructed me to lift both hands up, turn around, squat, manipulate my genitals, stick my tongue out, cough. Even thinking about it, even speaking about it, still brings me, you know, chills.
That is the voice of Albert Florence. He's the plaintiff in Florence v. County of Burlington. And we're speaking with Anita Allen about the Supreme Court decision. So the Supreme Court did not deny that Albert Florence's experience was humiliating.
Correct. But Justice Kennedy's opinion for the majority argued that the state must have substantial discretion to devise so-called reasonable solutions to problems like maintaining safety and order. And that the Fourth Amendment does impose a limit on solutions, but that limit is that the solution be reasonably related to legitimate penological interests. And Justice Kennedy felt that the interest in order and safety in prison was so strong that a person who was arrested could, for any offense, even a minor civil one, could be subjected to strip searching, and not just strip searching, but the kind of elaborate process of touching and inspecting that Mr. Florence went through, as described in his tape.
How exceptional is it, if it is at all, for the Supreme Court to defer to law enforcement, even local law enforcement?
Well, you know, as shocking as this case will seem to many Americans, it's actually not that surprising that that in this case the state won, because the state's interest in security and correctional facilities virtually always trumps the individual interest in privacy. And so here we have a scenario where, once again, that there's this tremendous sense that because prisons are very, very dangerous places, there are guns, there are drugs, there are contagious illnesses, that the state must have the ability to make sure that the visitors, the inmates, and the staff are not harmed. And so that kind of interest always, virtually always, trumps the individual interest in privacy. And I think everyone should also understand that this is not the only context in which suspicionless searches are permitted. So, for example, if you work for a railroad or the customs agency or you're a border guard, you can be asked to submit without individual suspicion to blood and urine testing, which is also felt to be quite invasive by many people. because of the state's interest in making sure that people who are responsible for driving trains or for guarding our borders are not using drugs or other contraband substances.
Which basically means that if you're going to be held in a jail, even if it's for traffic tickets, that you could be strip searched legally.
You could be. Now, fortunately, many states, at least 10, have laws that prohibit strip searching for non-indictable, non-criminal offenses. And even New Jersey, where Mr. Florence was arrested, have laws that prohibit strip searching. So part of the shocking thing about this case is that in the particular situation that was at issue in this case, there was actually a law and a policy against what happened to Mr. Florence. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court put that aside and focused on the general question of whether or not correctional facilities can strip search and said, yes, they can, where it is reasonably thought to be necessary for safety and order.
Does he have a civil case then?
Interestingly, there was there were two concurring opinions written in this case, and the concurring justices, Justice Alito and Justice Roberts, were concerned that the public might overread this case as saying that it's always reasonable to strip search.
Yeah.
But they said that's not what this case says. This case says that we have to defer to law enforcement, defer to correctional facilities, and not to assume always that it's going to be reasonable. But it could be reasonable, and where it's thought to be reasonable, we have to defer to that judgment.
Anita Allen, professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania, thank you so much.